Genesis chapter 21, and let us read the first three verses again. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today for the precious word of God. We know that heaven and earth someday will pass away, but thy word shall stand forever. O God, we thank thee for the power of thy word. Thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come and depend upon thy truth. O God, we pray today that you would bless thy word as it would go forth. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit as we would seek to preach thy truth. And we pray, Lord, for those here, Lord, that are gathered in this service, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us. Meet us at the point of our need. Come, Lord, and speak to our hearts and challenge our souls. Remember those, Lord, who are still unsaved. O God, bring them to Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal unto them their great need, God's salvation. Bless your own people. We thank thee for the saints of God in this house. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage your saints, even through thy word this day. Fill us now afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Today I want to commence a short series of messages on the life of Isaac. Isaac, of course, was the son of Abraham and he was the father of Jacob. Isaac lived until he was 180 years of age, and his name is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the great heroes of faith. Although Isaac is not as popular a character among Bible teachers as Abraham and Jacob, he is still one of the great patriarchs in Jewish history and in the biblical record. And as we're going to find out throughout the course of these studies, there are many aspects of Isaac's life that point us to Christ. And I do pray that as we study the life of Isaac, that we would indeed be drawn to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Very simply today, as an introductory message, I want to draw your attention to the birth of Isaac. The birth of Isaac is one of the most significant and celebrated births ever recorded in the Word of God. Next to the birth of Christ and the birth of John the Baptist, Isaac's birth was of the utmost importance because it was through the descendants of Isaac that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come. Therefore, the significance of Isaac being born was of divine importance. You see, the birth of Isaac was the plan of God. It was the purpose of God. God was going to bless Isaac and God was going to use Isaac in a very special way. And I pray that as we consider this character in the Bible, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. I do believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us in the life of Isaac. And I pray that we will not miss that message, but that as we study these verses surrounding this character, that the Lord will use his word to challenge our hearts and bless our souls. The birth of Isaac. What do we learn here about the birth of this character? Well, I want you to notice a number of things very simply today about the birth of Isaac. First of all, I want you to notice here that Isaac's birth was promised. Years before Isaac was born, God promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, and that his name would be Isaac. Indeed, on four separate occasions, God promised the parents of Isaac that he was going to be born. I'm sure that you're familiar, many of you are familiar with the book of Genesis, and you'll be aware of these promises that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. But perhaps there are those here today and you're not familiar with them. Well, let me draw your attention to them. I'm not going to read them all out today, but if you're taking notes and you want to write them down, first of all, Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. That's the first time that God spoke to Abraham concerning the birth of Isaac. Then Genesis chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Now I want you to turn to the third reference, because it's found in Genesis chapter 17. And we will read this promise. Look with me there at verse 19 of Genesis chapter 17. And you'll read these words. And God said, here's the Lord speaking to Abraham, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, needless to say, Isaac at this stage was not born. Here we have the Lord speaking to Abraham. And here the Lord again, for the third time, promises Abraham a son. Take a look there at chapter 18, and look with me there at verse 10, and you'll read these words. And he said, this is God's promise again for the fourth time, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and no Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Here we have the Lord again speaking to Abraham. This time, Sarah hears what the Lord has said to Abraham, the message that the Lord had given to Abraham. But here we have the fourth time that Abraham and Sarah are promised a son. Here we have God promising Abraham that he was going to give him a son. And God even tells Abraham his son's name. His name, of course, was to be Isaac. And of course, when you read chapter 21, the portion of scripture that we have read, God kept his word, and Isaac was born. Look again at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. So you can see here that after God promised, God kept his word, and Isaac eventually was born unto Abraham and Sarah. Now, what do we learn here? Well, we learn a very simple truth, but a very wonderful truth. We learn that God always keeps his word. God's word and God's promises are sure and dependable. God's word always comes to pass. There are many who do not believe that the Bible is the word of God, but we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is the infallible, incorruptible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspired means God breathed. And we believe that the Bible does not just contain the Word of God, but we believe that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. And every promise that is contained in this book is sure. Every word that is spoken in this book is sure. Thank God, what a comfort that ought to be for the child of God, you and I who are saved today, isn't it wonderful that we can depend upon the Word of God and depend upon the promises of God? Matthew Henry, the commentator, said regarding the fulfilling of these predictions about Isaac, he said this: "No word of God shall fall to the ground, for he is faithful who has promised, and God's faithfulness is the stay and support of his people's faith." And it's not true. I certainly agree with Matthew Henry there. O child of God, thank God day by day as we live in this world of sin. Praise God, we can turn to the Word of God, we can read the Scriptures of truth, and we can depend upon the wonderful promises that are contained therein. Now, I could not this morning, because of time, go through all the wonderful promises that are found in this book, but let me just emphasize a couple of them. The Lord has promised to save all those who call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm saved today. I'm on my way to heaven today. I'll never be in hell today because of the work of Christ and because of the promise of Christ. And thank God, the Lord promises eternal life to all those who put their faith and trust in Him. After I had led that lady to the Lord on Friday, after she had cried unto the Lord to save her, had the great joy of turning her to a wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And I read it to her. Let me read it to you. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And I just stopped there. And I said to the lady, "Now what did you do there? What are you only after doing?" And she says, "I'm only after believing on the Son of God, calling upon Him to save me." Well, I said to her, "Look at the promise. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Oh, child of God, listen. We can have confidence when we believe in the name of the Son of God. We can be confident when we trust Christ as our own and personal Savior. Because He has promised that all who believe on Him are saved eternally. And of course, we're saved eternally because of the work that He has accomplished for us upon the cross. Never let us forget that. Praise God, that's the foundation of our salvation. The precious blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon the middle tree in Golgotha's brow. If you want to be saved, come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing means receiving. You've got to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Just like that woman on Friday, she had to bow the head and repent her sin and by faith accept the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And in childlike faith, that's what she did. My friend, you can do that today in childlike faith. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that when we call upon the Lord and when we come in repentance and faith to Him and trust Christ as our Savior alone, that He will save us. And His Word declares that we shall be saved for all eternity. It's a wonderful text in Joshua 21 verse 45. Listen to these words. "There faileth not aught of any good thing which the Lord hath spoken unto the house of Israel." All came to pass. And I tell you, child of God, that is the truth that we learn here in the birth of Isaac. Although Sarah at the beginning doubted the promise of God that she was going to have a son, she finally believed that promise. And of course, when you study Genesis, you find out very clearly that Sarah did doubt. And we're going to see in a moment why she doubted. She had good reason to doubt, but she should never have doubted, because there's nothing impossible with God. Oh, child of God, we should never doubt the Word of God. Don't doubt the Word of God. Don't question the Word of God. His Word is sure. because His word is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, as we leave church in a few minutes' time, as this service would come to an end, let us go home praising God for His precious word. And may we read it more, may we study it more, and may we hide the contents of it deep within our hearts so that we might not sin against the Lord. Isaac's birth was promised. God always keeps His word. Now, turn back to Genesis chapter 21 again. I want you to notice something else about this birth. Isaac's birth was a miracle. It was a miracle. The birth of Isaac was a miracle birth. Everything about Isaac's birth, from the conception to the actual birth, required divine intervention. Abraham was 100 years of age when Isaac was born. Just think about that. Sarah was well past the age of childbearing. Indeed, constantly as we read the events of Isaac's birth, our attention is drawn to the age of Abraham and Sarah. Look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 21. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Underline that. In his old age. Look at verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Look at verse 7. And she said, this is Sarah, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Oh, it was humanly impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have children because of their age. Humanly impossible, men and women. And of course, this is one of the reasons why Sarah laughed when she heard that she was going to have a child in her old age. She just couldn't understand how this was going to take place. Take a look at Genesis chapter 18 again. Look with me there at verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she had bypassed childbearing. It was impossible, humanly speaking, for her to have a child. And of course, when you read Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, that text also brings this truth out. And when you read Hebrews 11 and verse 11, that text also brings this truth out as well. I'll just read the Hebrew text to you. We read there, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh, God performed a miracle to bring Isaac into the world. And it's important that you see that from this passage of Scripture. Now, the miraculous birth of Isaac reminds us of something. It reminds us of the new birth. Every conversion is a miracle. Every time a soul is saved, a miracle takes place. Every time a soul is converted, the power of God is demonstrated. That's why Paul could say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it's so important that we emphasize that. Oh, child of God, I pray that we'll never lose our vision of wanting to see men and women saved. But I also pray that we'll never forget that every time a soul is saved, that it is a miracle. A miracle that only God can wrought. Because salvation is of the Lord. And I pray today that if you're not saved, that you will come and put your faith and trust in Christ. Has a miracle, the miracle of salvation, taken place in your life? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you saved by the grace of God? My friend, if you're not, then come and put your faith and trust in Christ today. But remember this, every time a soul is saved is a miracle. A miracle of grace. A miracle that is wrought by the operation of the Holy Spirit coming into the life and changing the life. Now, something else I want you to notice here. Turn back again to Genesis chapter 21. Isaac's birth was promised. Isaac's birth was a miracle. But notice also here that Isaac's birth brought great joy. First of all, Abraham and Sarah rejoiced when their son was born. Look at verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. And look with me there at verse 8. It says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. My Sarah's rejoicing over having a child is not difficult to understand. Abraham's rejoicing and having a child is not hard to understand. When Sarah is first mentioned in the Bible, we are told that she could not have children. Genesis 11 verse 30, it says, Sarah was barren. And all her life she went childless until Isaac was born. My, what great rejoicing therefore filled her heart and filled the heart of Abraham when Isaac was born. But you know, not only did Abraham and Sarah rejoice in Isaac's birth, but all who would hear of this miraculous birth would rejoice as well. Look exactly what it says there in verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. All that hear will rejoice with me. And of course, there was great rejoicing in the family and in the community when Isaac was born. There's always great rejoicing in a family and in a community when a child is born. And it was no different when Isaac was born into Abraham's family. And of course, when a soul is saved, when a soul receives the new birth, when someone is born again of the Spirit of God, there is great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. You know, friend, I read a verse last week, and it really blessed my heart. It says, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written down in heaven. You know, the Lord has blessed us in many different ways, and He has given us many privileges. It's a privilege to preach the gospel, and it's a privilege to be a minister of the gospel. But listen, the greatest privilege that I have, and the greatest blessing that God has bestowed upon me is saving me. The day I was saved, the day I experienced the new birth, the day that miracle took place in my life, the day when God wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, that's what I'm rejoicing in today. Tell me, can you rejoice in that? You're rejoicing today that your name is written down in heaven. My friend, your name needs to be written down in heaven. Because the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not written down in heaven, you'll end up in hell. If your name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, then you're lost. You'll be lost forever. Oh, child of God, isn't that something else to rejoice about? Praise God, the Lord has written our names in heaven. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Someday we're going to leave this old world behind us and we're going to enter into the glory, the glories of heaven. And we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a great feast in heaven, you know. Last night we had a great feast in the church here at the senior citizens' dinner. We had a good time and Mr. Cook was with us. And pray for him. He's 80 years of age tomorrow. Pray for him and his dear wife. We had a good night last night. But I'll tell you something, child of God. Someday we're going to sit down at a far greater feast in heaven. Imagine a feast in heaven. Imagine sitting down around the table of God in heaven. Are you going to be there? Are you going to rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, let us get our priorities right. Oh, child of God, let us get our priorities right. The greatest blessing that God has bestowed upon us is the new birth. It's the new birth. But notice something else. I better watch the clock here. Take a look at Genesis chapter 21 again. Notice, fourthly, that Isaac's birth was made light of. All in Abraham's home did not rejoice in the birth of Isaac. Look at verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Ishmael mocked Isaac. The word for mock here is in the continual tense. That means that Ishmael continually was mocking Isaac. In Galatians 4 verse 29, Paul described the mocking of Ishmael as persecution. In other words, Ishmael was persecuting Isaac and continued to persecute him until he was eventually put out of the home. Ishmael was jealous of Isaac, you see. Up until the birth of Isaac, Ishmael was the heir of Abraham. But now, Isaac, because he was God's promised seed, was heir to all of Isaac's inheritance. And here we have this young man. He's about 17 years of age, Ishmael, at this time. And he's making fun. That's a detail that you need to remember. It's very important in the story of Isaac, and we're going to be saying more about it in the course of these studies. But I want to close by saying this. The birth of Isaac is a wonderful type and picture of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Isaac's birth, the birth of Christ was foretold and promised long before the event. Turn over with me just for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Very soon we'll be coming up to the Christmas period. And of course, at the Christmas period, we remember the birth of Christ. Of course, we don't need Christmas time to be reminded of the Saviour's birth. And here in Luke, chapter 1, we are told about the birth of the Son of God. And the birth of Christ was promised. And of course, it was promised long before the Saviour was born in Bethlehem's manger. But take a look there at verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel said unto her, that was unto Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There we have Christ's birth being foretold to Mary. Like Isaac's birth, also the birth of Christ was a miracle. Take a look there at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Look at verse 37. And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And of course, we're all familiar with the great doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. The Saviour's birth was a miracle. The Saviour's birth was promised. And of course, like Isaac's birth, the birth of Christ brought great joy Take a look there at Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Here we have the angel speaking to the shepherds. Look at verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." My, what rejoicing there was with the angels. What rejoicing there was in heaven. What rejoicing there was in the hearts of God's people when the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. All heaven rejoiced. But of course, like Isaac's birth, the birth of Christ was rejected by many. Because, turn over to Matthew chapter 2. It's important that you see the references. Matthew chapter 2, and of course verse is 1 to 3. We read these words now. "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." Then Herod the king, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Look at verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." All did not rejoice in the birth of Christ. Oh, my friend, I wonder, do you rejoice in the birth of Christ? Do you rejoice in the death of Christ? Do you rejoice in the resurrection of Christ? What does the Savior coming into the world mean to you? The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, the Bible says, to them give he power to become the sons of God. And thank God this afternoon, each and every one here can leave God's house rejoicing in the birth of Christ. You say, "Preacher, how can I go away from God's house today rejoicing in his birth?" By receiving him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. Would you not come and trust the Lord today? What a difference in your life he would make. My friend, I can't overemphasize that. You say to me, "Preacher, you don't know my problems. You don't know my difficulties. You don't know the road that I'm traveling on at the minute." No, I may not. But the Lord does. And the Lord will give you grace. And the Lord will give you strength to face whatever problems you have to face. Because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, someday you and I will have to die. And when we come to die, our friends will be no good to us then. Our families will be no good to us then. We'll have to face death ourselves, personally and individually. And someone might be holding our hands when we pass away. And someone might be there at our bedside when we take our last breath. But listen, once we take our last breath and we die and our souls leave our body, then we will have to meet God. You will have to meet God. And you will stand before him alone, as we all will. When you stand before him, will you stand before him knowing Christ as your Savior? Or will you have to stand before him knowing that you rejected the Lord as your Savior? Oh, my friend, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's why you need today to come and put your faith and trust in Christ. The birth of Isaac points us to Christ. And I pray today that as the Scriptures have pointed us to Christ, that you will receive him and trust him as your Saviour. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today for thy precious word. Oh God, we know that there's so much to learn from the birth of Isaac. So many lessons, so many truths, Lord, that we could emphasize. But oh God, we thank thee that his birth reminds us of the birth of our blessed Redeemer. And oh God, we thank thee for the Savior coming into this world. We thank thee, Lord, that when he was born, unlike Isaac, he was born sinless and spotless and pure. Isaac was born in sin because he had the natural birth. Born in sin and shape and in iniquity, Lord, and he had to get saved. And we thank thee there was the day in his life when he got converted. But we thank thee that the Lord Jesus, he was born to be the Savior. He was born to be the Redeemer. Oh God, I pray that each one here would trust thee as their own and personal Savior. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 84.